Be seated. So that reading I just read comes from Luke chapter 19, and it begins on page 79 of the New Testament part of the Pew Bible, but most of it is on page 80 actually. So it's Luke chapter 19, and it begins at verse 28. You might find it helpful to have that open in front of you. And let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus has words of wisdom and life. And please would he speak to us words of life this morning. Amen. So imagine for a moment that you own a really clapped out car. It takes some imagination. I'm sure you've all got lovely luxury vehicles. Just imagine that you own a clapped out car. It's the type that has one door that is a different colour to the rest of the car. It's the type that the window mechanism doesn't work on the driver's side, so you can't wind the window down. That means that when you go to a multi-story car park and you need to get one of those tickets out of the machine, you've got to kind of park some distance away and try and worm your way around the door to get the ticket out. It's got a wing mirror that's held on with gaffer tape. That's the kind of car I'm talking about. Well, imagine you own that. It's parked proudly outside the front of your house. You're sitting in the kitchen having a nice cup of tea, and you can hear some banging and some scratching sounds coming from the front of your house. You look out of the window, and with some horror and actually quite a lot of surprise, you see two people trying to break in at your clapped out old car. You go rushing out of the house. What on earth are you doing? Stop right now or I'll call the police, you say, and they respond with some words that are meant to sort of justify what they're doing. They say, "The Lord needs it." Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Well, of course, that's how 2,000 years ago, the people who owned the donkey that was being taken by Jesus' disciples must have felt, "The Lord needs it," explained things just about as well as somebody trying to steal your car and saying the same thing to you today. So what on earth is going on here? Palm Sunday, we're quite used to the story, but it is a bit weird, isn't it? A donkey gets taken from a farm, and Jesus rides on it into Jerusalem, and the crowds think that something amazing has happened. But they must have also looked at it and thought, well, this looks ridiculous. A grown man sitting on the back of a one-year-old donkey. What on earth is taking place? And as we'll see over the next few minutes, that first Palm Sunday, something unspeakably fantastic, something incredibly glorious is taking place. A king who's the Lord of heaven and earth is taking up his reign. Yesterday at Hinton, we had a, not really very Lenten really, but we had a soup and sweet event. That means you came along for lunch and you have a choice of about four different soups and then some puddings afterwards. And goodness, some of the puddings were amazing. One of them I had, made by a lady called Janice. It was in loads of different layers. It was basically a trifle, but forget the sponge in the trifle and replace sponge with cookie dough. And that's what I'm talking about. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's what this cake was like. A layer of cookie dough, some nuts and some cream, another layer of cookie dough, nuts and cream, a layer of cookie dough, covered the whole thing in nice whipped cream. It was one of the nicest things I've ever eaten in lots of different layers. And there are three different layers to the glory that we see on Palm Sunday. Three different layers of good news that I want us to get to grips with today. This is good news for all people everywhere. This is good news in heaven. And this is good news for the earth itself. Good news for all people, good news for heaven, good news for that very earth itself. Three layers of glory for us to see today. Oh, firstly, it's great news for all people. The crowds have gathered there, all sorts of people from different backgrounds, and with one voice they proclaim, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And now those words there are actually a quotation from the Old Testament. They come from Psalm 118. And Psalm 118 was a Passover psalm. It's a psalm that you'd sing together with your family before celebrating the Passover. You know, we're having a Passover meal later on this week. But 2,000 years ago, they'd have sung this psalm, and it's about how God has chosen a king who will be king forever. And as they had their Passover meal, they would remember how God saved them from being slaves in Egypt in the past, but how he was going to save them in the future by sending another king, another rescuer. And as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they saw that the words of their Passover song were being accomplished, were being fulfilled in front of them. And so they sang, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." This is good news for all people. God's chosen king come to make a huge change in society, come to open up the gates of heaven to all believers. But what a strange way of entering into his capital city. But 2 years ago, I think it was, the Sargent family went on a trip to Whipsnade Zoo. The reason we went is that's the closest zoo with elephants. And Hermione at the time had an obsession with elephants. Well, it was one of the few words she could say was elephant. So we thought, let's take her to see a real elephant at Whipsnade Zoo. Anyway, we arrived and it was hugely crowded. The car park was packed. The overflow car park was packed as well. And there were police everywhere. Something was going on. And we walked through the gates of the zoo, and we were told by one of the people on duty there that the Queen was there. Her Majesty the Queen had gone to see the elephants herself and to open up some new elephant-related exhibit or attraction. And so it was. We stood there for a few minutes, and the Queen's great procession came by in front of us. Motorbikes first, police cars, limousines with other important people, and of course, finally, the Queen in her car with enormous windows so you could see exactly who was inside. And there she was, sitting inside, waving to us. It was a moment of great splendour and spectacle. And that's how kings and queens generally travel, isn't it? But not so with Jesus. Jesus sitting on the back of a donkey is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, what comes to mind when you think of someone riding a donkey? Well, I think of a sunburnt, slightly overweight gentleman, maybe sitting on the back of a mangy beast on Blackpool Beach, and he's got his knotted handkerchief on his head, and the poor old donkey really looks like he wishes he was somewhere else, waiting for the day he gets to go to the donkey sanctuary. And not a nice image at all, is it really? Jesus must have looked ridiculous as he went into Jerusalem. It's the equivalent, isn't it, of the Queen going to the state opening of Parliament in your clapped-out old car with the door that's a different colour and the gaffer tape wind mirror. That's the picture we're getting of Jesus' triumphal entry. It's glorious. The crowds know that. They know something amazing is happening, something that's going to change everything. And yet at the same time, this is embarrassing. It's humiliating. Because what they know is that this king who's coming isn't just coming in splendor. He's coming in humility, because ultimately he's going to be humiliated on behalf of others. The Bible says this of Jesus, that God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus has changed places with us. He was spat on. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was hated so that we would be welcomed as God's children forever. A great swap of places as God's king comes in majesty and humiliation. This is good news for all people. That's the first layer. Second layer of glory. Second layer of good news. This is good news in heaven as well. The crowd shout out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. So what they're imagining is that as this event takes place, and it's a mixture of splendor and humiliation, the crowds say that in heaven the angels are rejoicing, they're blasting on the trumpets, they're celebrating, because they know that something that's going to change everything is happening down on earth. Peace is coming to heaven. And to understand what it means to be human, we need to know that each of us in our own ways has declared war on heaven. We've declared war on God by saying in our hearts, shove off God, I'm in charge. No to your rules. I'm okay with the idea of you being God, but please don't interfere in my life. That's declaring war on God. It's what the Bible calls sin. So we're sending an ultimatum to God. Get out of my life, God. I want to be God of my life. And that is declaring war on God. And so a state of war exists between us and heaven. But as Jesus Christ came, God was bringing peace. Peace between God and humankind. Not peace because human beings have done something great to achieve. We've not beaten God. We've not even surrendered to God. But peace because God has sent a peace envoy, someone who will suffer in our place to make peace. And about that, the angels are rejoicing as the sinless Son of God makes his way into Jerusalem to build peace between God and humankind. Second layer of glory. This is good news for everyone. It's good news in heaven. Finally, this is great news for the earth, for the stones, for the very creation itself. Yeah, the religious leaders, as religious people quite often do, don't really quite get the picture of what's going on. And they say to Jesus, teacher, order your disciples to stop. In other words, get your disciples to stop saying that you're the king, that you've come to rescue your people. Get them to shut up. And Jesus answered, if I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. If the crowd wasn't celebrating, then the stones of the street, the stones of the city, they would be shouting out in joy. Because this isn't just good news for people. It's not just good news in heaven. This is good news for the world itself. It's good news for the very creation. I don't know if you can imagine going out into the forest. You go over the cattle grid, and sometimes when you're really lucky, there's a family of donkeys. Nothing cuter than that, is there? I'm sure you've had that experience. Imagine getting out of your car. It's a lovely family of donkeys. There's mummy donkey, and there's her baby. And it's 1 year old, lives out in the forest. And you take your coat off, and you start to try and put your coat on baby donkey's back. How do you think you're going to get on with that? How easy do you think that's going to be? Well, let's assume you do manage to get your coat on baby donkey's back. What's going to happen as you try to sit on baby donkey's back? Do you think they're going to be up for that? Never been ridden? Live out in the forest? How do you think that's going to work for you? I think it's going to be a disaster. You're going to break some limbs if you try and do that, aren't you? It's certainly going to be very embarrassing. But the donkey clearly has no problem with this at all. In the case of Jesus Christ. Because the donkey knows that this isn't just good news for people, the crowds. This is good news for everything that exists. You see, the world is made to be perfect. As God looked on creation, he said, look, it's good. This is really good. And yet we know from our day-to-day experience that that's not how the world is. It's full of broken relationships. Things that aren't the way we mean them to be. It's full of injustice, natural disaster, sickness, so many things that make us realize that the world is broken. And that brokenness is a symptom of our broken friendship with God. But the day is coming, and Palm Sunday is a little signpost to it. The day is coming when creation will be set free from decay, set free from all the things about it that are wrong. The stones know this, the donkey knows it. So that even if the crowds are silent, the stones will cry out in excitement for what is taking place. This is good news for everything. Good news for creation. Good news in heaven. Good news for all people everywhere. So the question is this good news for you?